AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media
News, app. ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Idalia losing steam as it moves over Georgia and the Carolinas, but the storm is still packing winds of up to 85 miles an hour. Mayor Brenda Bethune says South Carolina's Myrtle Beach should get ready.
The main thing for us is to encourage people to stay off of the beaches and out of the water. We still have a lot of tourists in the area, and for them, this is a sightseeing event, and that's not what this is.
Storm damage assessment still underway in Florida, where Idalia hit as a Category 3 hurricane.
We have over 1,000 personnel currently deployed, prepared to support not just Florida, but all of our states that are in the path as needed.
FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell. White House says Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin have exchanged letters as Russia tries to purchase more munitions from North Korea to use in its war in Ukraine. One of the reporters at a Kansas newspaper raided by authorities earlier this month has filed a federal lawsuit against the police chief that ordered that search. This is ABC News. The Biden administration approving a military transfer to Taiwan. The $80 million package approved under a program usually reserved for sovereign or independent states. More proof of rising COVID-19 cases.
The CDC no longer tracks daily COVID cases, so wastewater samples collected are the best indicator of COVID activity. In the San Francisco Bay Area, COVID's presence in wastewater is going up noticeably, which is in line with what doctors at hospitals say they're seeing. Dr. Marlene Wolf is a project director of the Wastewater Scan Project. She says numbers were super low over the summer, and now that's changing.
And now we have gone up into kind of what we would consider the middle level tier.
With a full booster shot probably not available for weeks, it's expected numbers will keep rising. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Drivers west of Toronto urged to keep their car windows closed after a truck carrying 5 million bees spilled its crates on the road. Andy Field, ABC News.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Digga. This portion of the show is supported by NACDI's Four Sisters Farmers Market, which happens every Thursday on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis from 11 to 3.
You know, I'll be there tomorrow, too, in between on my little lunch break, getting that fry bread pizza. Hey, I was at the Brandi Carlile concert last night, 10th row, and I missed a pick by, like, about, well, 3 rows, but it was close. And it was just a great spiritual experience. What a great performer. And just a shout out to Brandi Carlile. Hey, we got a jam-packed show, and we have the executive director of Merge Wisconsin, Arvina Martin. Right now, it's all Ho-Chunk here on Native Roots Radio, and we like it that way. Ho-wah. Welcome.
Ho-wah.
Long Chic Wednesday.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So how are you? It seems like I haven't talked to you in a while. We're, you know, kind of spaced out here at the Minnesota get together, and Haley calls it the Minnesota Great Sweat Together, and we have our booth, yep. Native Roots Trading Post, out at the fair. So I've been visiting my Weeha and Hinu and telling them to get off their phone and start selling stuff. Ho!
That sounds like a pretty good, you know, pretty good way to be.
Exactly. Well, what's happening in a mad city? My second favorite city in the country, literally.
Things are going great. We actually had a lovely day today. It was sunny and didn't get higher than 72 degrees, which is exciting for us because our air conditioning doesn't work at our house right now. So it's nice to have some cool weather, you know, before we get our before the repair guys can come in and take care of everything for us. So
yeah, that's crazy. Well, that is good. And I know here in the Twin Cities by the weekend, we're going to be in the hundreds. And to me, there's no difference between 1,000,000 degrees and 100 degrees.
And I was planning, before I knew what the weather was going to be like, to go to Black River Falls for our Labor Day powwow, and now I'm like, maybe that's not a great idea for you, Arvina. Yeah. You don't do well in heat.
I know, no one does. Hey, I was at watched the parade at the fairgrounds, and the St. Paul Roller Derby was in the fair, the Roller Girls, and that was really exciting. And I thought of you and all the great things that you do and for the community. You know, for me, the fair, the state fair at Minnesota has always been, it's back to school. As a former teacher, it's back to school. Right after Labor Day, we get the students. But it's also like political time. And, you know, we got school boards and things like that and lions and tigers and bears coming up. What's going on in the great state of Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. So we have a rare stretch of time without any elections. We don't have any fall elections this year. So our next set of elections will be spring of 2024. And yeah, that includes school boards. And, you know, the right wing is really pushing candidates and pushing for people that think like them and are the kinds of folks that want to tell, you know, students that slaves learned valuable skills that help them in their lives and, you know, and other non-truths, etc. And so, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the idea that we need more Native people on school boards, just up and down, wherever you are in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, you know, we don't have enough Native people that are on school boards that can help, you know, protect curriculum to be, you know, authentic and educational and real, I guess. I mean, we're to the point where you know, the other side is trying to put in like actual lies about things and change things because they're afraid it's going to make somebody feel bad instead of understanding that, you know, you can love your country and still be critical of it. And that's okay. It's okay to be critical of events in the past because that's how you get better. And, you know, I think that when it comes to, you know, both educating Native students in a safe and respectful environment, as well as educating non-Native students about Native people, again, in a safe and a respectful environment, is really important. And I think that we need to have more Native people on school boards because we're able to kind of bring voice to those concerns and those are things that are on our minds and they're not, you know, they won't get swept under the rug if we have people championing those things. And, you know, I think about how every year we hear about students that are banned from having either beadwork on their graduation cap or having an eagle feather on their graduation cap and how ridiculous that is and how that could be helped by having someone of that student's background, having a Native person in a position of power and that has a platform to speak and that people will listen to. I think it's really, really important, especially when kids, you know, have to tell somebody at their school that, you know, their team played somebody with a Native mascot and all of their schoolmates, even if it's not their school, you know, that has the mascot, they go to these games and have to see all kinds of horrible things. You know, people saying scalp the Indians or, you know, just
tomahawk chop.
Tomahawk chops, just really offensive visual images, you know, just things that are antithetical to an educational experience, you know, for anybody.
Well, you know, what's weird or not weird. What's really cool. We need to stay vigilant here in Minnesota, but this year, Haley, help me out. There's a new law that Native American history is, it's a law in Minnesota where they have to teach Native American history.
Yeah. So the legislator just kind of snuck this into like a wording of the bill, one of the bills that was passed. So yeah, it's now a requirement that K through 12 teachers have to teach Indigenous history in the classroom.
That's, I mean, that's a great first step. We have something similar in Wisconsin. It's referred to as Act 31. But unfortunately, there's no like enforcement mechanism or there's no teeth to it. So, you know, if people don't teach about it, nothing happens. So in a lot of cases, there are so many schools in Wisconsin that don't do this because nothing's going to happen to them if they don't. And I hope that Minnesota has some better enforcement mechanisms involved in their in your law over there than we have over here. So
what a great point. And that's what I mean. We have to stay vigilant and not relax because politicians change, governors change, and we still have to do what you do and how you work with women with Emerge Wisconsin. And maybe we can talk a little bit more about what's happening with Emerge Wisconsin and how people
Absolutely.
Can get a hold of you and just that's rock the vote. That's get going here, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Hey, we're here with Arvina Ho-Chunk. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake and I'm Woke. Whoa. Hey.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Attention art enthusiasts, experience Laura Youngbird's indie Wisigindum, My Heart Hurts, a solo exhibition by Laura Youngbird presented by All My Relations Arts this summer. All My Relations Arts aims to foster connections between contemporary American Indian artists, preceding generations, diverse audiences, and the vitality of the American Indian cultural corridor. Laura Youngbird is a talented artist from the Minnesota Chippewa Grand Portage Band that uses the dress as a metaphor to address social issues, injustices, and biases. Through mixed media combining drawing, painting, and prints, Laura explores the dress as a powerful symbol in her work, revealing layers of meaning. Her series examines mixed emotions and themes like common threads, loose ends, and vulnerability. And you can see Laura Youngbird's Inde Wisigindum, My Heart Hurts, all summer through September 9th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Plan your visit and let the moving art speak to your heart. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, CEO or Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and I'll have to get schooled after the show.